couple things I wanted to note while I'm thinking about it. One is you'll notice there are some hearts around. It actually worked out really nice because we had a wedding here yesterday and they thought we had put the hearts up just for them. It's really kind of nice to have a heart theme when you've got a wedding going on. Pastor Derek's going to tell you a little more about what they're about. We're doing an emphasis or a focus on generous hearts, and so this is part of what we're doing as part of this focus. If you want to wander through the stage area, you can look at some of the ways that people have talked about either being touched by having their heart, your heart touched by God, or ways that you have been able to touch other people's hearts. He'll lead you in an exercise a little bit later. Another thing that I wanted to make sure that I had pointed out before I forget is, as kind of the culmination of this exercise, we've got some estimate of giving cards. Many of you should have gotten these in the mail this week. If you didn't, we do have some extras. This is a way of estimating your giving, making your commitment towards the work of the Lord through Faith Community Church in the coming year. This year, we're doing it a little bit differently. Instead of just making it all about money, we're trying to make it more about all of what faith's about. So there's a question of, will you commit to praying for the church through the course of this year, attending worship weekly, biweekly, monthly, serving our church and community? There's an hours of estimate per week. And there will be a point late in the service where you can share those. Some other notes that I wanted to make so that you know, we've been raising money for a sound system in the sanctuary. I know it doesn't directly affect this service, but I thought you all ought to know what's going on in the life of Faith Community Church. This week we went over the top, so I got the chance to give the sound company a call saying, we're pulling the trigger, we're going ahead, order it, get it in as soon as you can. Yesterday during the wedding, I thought, the sound system actually sounds pretty good. Maybe we don't really need to replace it. And then today I get in, and there's this horrible squeal all through the service, and I thought, man, can we get it any quicker? The other note that I just wanted to make, as long as I'm making announcements, on Friday we did a movie in here. If you notice the basketball hoops up, we had like 200 kids who came to watch this movie. A good sense of the community gathering. The next one, if you're interested, every 10 years or so, there's a movie that comes along that defines a generation. Our generation's movie now is Frozen. So on December 4th, I think it is, we're going to show Frozen in here. Dawn's already trying to come up with a princess costume to wear.
Brad, the movie that defined your generation, what was that?
Star Wars.
The Wizard of Oz? Oh, Star Wars, yeah. Star Wars. Cool.
All right. The scripture for today is from Matthew chapter 22. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had left the Sadducees speechless, they met together. One of them, who was a legal expert, tested him and said, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" He replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law and the prophets depend on these two commands." Now, as the Pharisees were gathering, Jesus asked them, "What do you think? What do you think about Christ? Whose son is he?" Well, they replied, "David's son." And he said, "Then how is it that David, inspired by the Holy Spirit, called him Lord when he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I see your enemies into your footstool. If David calls him Lord, how can he be David's son?" Nobody was able to answer him, and from that day forward, nobody dared to ask him anything. Here ends this reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. All right, I'm going to try making a little bit of a confession here. I have a guilty pleasure that's kind of become a little bit of an obsession here recently, and it is the Hunger Games. Do you know about the Hunger Games? We started out about a year ago. There are a series of books that are now being turned into movies. About a year ago, reading them, we were on a family vacation, and we were reading through The Hunger Games, and then they were turned into movies, and when we were on this 33-hour flight to Africa, I looked at the ones that I thought were interesting on the airplane and ended up just watching The Hunger Games because there was nothing else there, and ended up watching the movie like half a dozen times. It may have been more than that, I'll admit. Now the first Hunger Games movie is on TV, and I have to confess, I've watched this one about as many times as I watched the one that was on the airplane. The next one is supposed to come out in about 3 weeks, by the way. So most anticipated movie event of the year. I have to admit, I'm a little bit excited. The story is about sometime in the distant future, when the world has kind of all fallen apart. There's a new government in place, a ruling class of people that's trying to keep ordinary people under control. And they do it to keep people controlled and distracted. They have these games where two people from each region are selected, they're put in a playing field, and then they're forced to battle it out until there's only one person left. Brief summary of a very complicated series. Except that they're children, but it's really not a children's series. And it's not as graphically violent as it sounds, although it's not very peaceful either. The heroine is a lady by the name of Katniss Everdeen, who is a fiercely independent girl, but also has a vulnerable side, so you end up liking her if you watch it for very long. One of the characters that has caught my attention is a lady by the name of Effie Trinket. Effie Trinket is one of those larger-than-life characters. She's got bright pink hair, not just pinkish, like bright pink hair, and usually wears like this screaming green dress. And everything is always the best there is or the fastest there is. When they're on the train, for example, she's the one who has to point out that the train goes 250 miles an hour. Or when they go into the library, she's the one who has to notice that the shelves are all made out of mahogany. Her favorite line is, chins up, smiles on. Chins up, smiles on. So Katniss Everdeen is about to go into this game where her very life's going to be at stake. And what is Effie Trinket's advice to her? Chins up, smiles on. Here's the reason I think I'm so intrigued by this character. Because I'm convinced that as we get older, our character traits tend to become more exaggerated. The things that are unique about us tend to become more exaggerated. And so I got to wondering, if I were to be known for one thing, what would I want it to be? One quality that would become exaggerated so it was the thing people knew me by. If you could be known for one thing, what would you hope that it would be? You all know that I like lifting weights. I'm going to go to another weightlifting competition on November 8th. It's down in Springboro. The Ohio State Championships happen to be in our backyard in Springboro. This is going to be my before picture to see how far I have to go to get back to where I was before June. I like lifting. I like exercising and being in shape. But I hope it's not the only thing that I'm known for. You know that I like collecting coins. I like collecting coins, I think, partly because I like organizing things. I like it when things are ordered. But I hope that's not the only thing I'm known for. I like having a car that runs. One of my accomplishments right now is all of my engine lights are off. I like that. My car runs. But I hope that the car that I drive and the condition that it's in aren't the only things that I'm known for. Do you ever find yourself getting caught in the little stuff of life and making that more important than it really needs to be? That, I think, is what was happening in the church in Jesus' day. They'd been given commandments. They started out with 10, but you probably know that there's a lot more than 10 commandments in the Old Testament. People who are into that kind of stuff say that there are about 613 commandments. There are some really good ones in there, like don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal. But then there's a whole bunch of them that we don't talk so much about anymore. Like, for example, one of them is, don't borrow on interest. We don't talk about that much anymore, do we? One of them is, don't shave. So Derek's closer to following that commandment than I am. One of them is, listen for the sound of the horn on festival days. I haven't heard anybody repeat that ever, I don't think. One of them is, don't eat meat of an animal that's been stoned to death. I don't know if that's a good idea or not. It's not one I worry a whole lot about. And that was very early on.
I feel like that'd be like more tender meat.
It probably would be tender.
Yeah. Delicious.
I don't know how most of the meat that I eat, I would know how the animal had been slaughtered anyway. And so it's kind of a useless commandment for me anyway. early on, people started to get in arguments about or discussions about which ones were more important and which ones weren't so important. And if you had to order them, how would you order them? Which are the ones that we are absolutely essential and which are the ones that are not and which ones are more important? And so people would talk for days. They'd have these conversations about what, how to order and how to rank the commandments. I imagine that maybe some people were in the middle of a discussion like that when someone said, hey, let's see what Jesus thinks. So they turned to Jesus, and the way that they asked the question is, what is the greatest commandment in the law? I think another way of saying that is, if you could only be known for one thing, what would you want it to be? Jesus' answer is as simple as it is brilliant. He didn't make it up himself. Every faithful person would have known one verse of Scripture. It was the Scripture that they would have said early in the morning. It was the verse that they would say late at night. They'd put it in little boxes and put the boxes on their doorposts. They'd touch it every time they enter a room and every time they'd leave a room to remember this verse. Some people would even put it in little boxes and tie it to their forehead so that they would always have it before them. It's called the Shema Yisrael. Those are Hebrew words for the first two words that this verse starts out with. Shema means hear. Yisrael means Israel. Do you know how this verse goes? Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your being, with all your mind. In other words, love God. Think of the thing that you love more than anything else. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your kid. Maybe it's your kids. And remember that God loves you even more than that. God's love is so unimaginable that it is even greater than the thing that we love most. The question then is, how do we love God in return? What God wants most is for us to love him, not just to believe in him, not just to know about him, not just to obey him, but to love him. Usually when I think of love, I think of it as being a feeling. It's usually how we talk about love these days, isn't it? And so I kind of am bothered by this verse because feelings aren't something we have a whole lot of control over. And so it confuses me a little bit that we call love a commandment. Unless what Jesus is talking about is a little bit different than that. Because a commandment is something we do have some choice in, right? We can choose whether we're going to lie. We can choose whether we're going to steal. We can choose whether we're going to kill. Jesus here calls love a commandment. In other words, he's saying that we have a choice in whether we're going to love God. That's not the word in this verse, though, that I struggle the most with. The word that I struggle the most with is the smallest word. It's only three letters long. Love the Lord your God with all. Don't you hate it that Jesus said that? All. All your heart, all your strength, all your soul. That's one of the reasons, by the way, that we're trying to be more broad in this. We're trying to include making a commitment to God to pray, to be a part of worship, to, of course, support the work of the Lord through Faith Community Church with our finances. God's looking for us to be all in. You can tell when a person is all in, can't you? There's a story about a guy named Charles who grew up in the early 1900s up in the Chicago area who wasn't all in. He owned a drugstore and he hated his job. He'd often get there late because he didn't want to be there. He'd stand behind the cash register and ring people out, but he really didn't help anybody. And what he really loved was fishing, so if he had the opportunity to get out early, he was out wherever there was water going fishing. One day, though, he decided, what if I would decide to go all in? What if I decide to really make an effort at this drugstore? And so he started playing games. He started actually showing up on time. One of the things that he'd do is when people around the store would call in for a prescription, he'd try to keep them on the phone. He'd ask them questions. He'd have them repeat their order. And then he'd have his assistant fill the prescription and have their delivery person get it to their house. And their goal was to get it to the house before the person was off the phone. When somebody would walk in the store, he'd make a point of being there to help them out in any way that they could. And word got out. His drugstore got really popular, and then it began to spread across the country. His first name was Charles. Any guess what his last name was? Walgreen. Charles Walgreen, now one of the more popular drugstores around the country. If you're wondering, how do I do that? How do I love God with all my heart, with all my soul, and all my mind? Jesus kept going. He said there's a second commandment that's just like the first. In fact, it's so similar that they really shouldn't be separated. They shouldn't be called one and two. They're really different parts of the same commandment. Love the Lord your God, and the second part of that is love your neighbor as yourself. It actually doesn't appear in the commandments, in the list of commandments, but it does appear back in the Old Testament. Jesus wasn't making this up. What was brilliant about Jesus was that he put the two together. His genius was that he put these two together. He says that the way that we treat others and what we believe about God are actually the same thing. I tried to figure out how to illustrate that, and let me try to illustrate it with a quick story. There was a man, this is an old Eastern fable, who had a ring that was supposed to have magical powers, an opal ring. Whoever wore the ring would be kind and truthful and brave and just. This ring had that kind of power. So, of course, with that kind of power, you know that it was treasured in the family. It was passed on from generation to generation, which worked out well until one generation, a guy had three sons and couldn't decide which one to give it to. So he had to find another solution. Here's what he ended up doing. He made two copies of the ring that looked exactly the same so that he could give one to each of his three kids. When he died, though, the kids wanted to know who gets the real one. And so they took each other to court. They said, we want to know who has the right to get the real one. And do you know what the judge said in trying to decide the case? His response was to say, we will know who has the genuine ring by the goodness of his life. It's simple and complicated as that. Love God, and the way that we show our love towards God is in the way that we love others. There's a very old tradition about the disciple John. You remember John, the beloved disciple? The one disciple that we believe didn't abandon Jesus when he was crucified and was there at the cross. He's also, tradition has it, the one disciple who didn't die a martyr's death. He's the only disciple, the only apostle who lived to an old age. He died of old age. In his old age, his eyesight was failing, his mind went, and so in his later years, tradition has it, he was only able to say one sentence, five words, and he'd repeat them over and over and over again. He was the bishop of the church in Ephesus, and on Sunday morning, he still preached one sentence, five words. When he was wheeled into the congregation on the Lord's Day, everybody would be absolutely silent and glued to his words, even though they knew what he was going to say. It's actually not a bad way to be remembered. This was his sermon. One sentence, five words, he'd say over and over and over again. My children, love one another. My children, love one another. My children, love one another. What's your most distinguishing characteristic? What's the one thing, if you could be known only for one thing, that you would hope you would be known by? My challenge is to make it to love God, the Lord your God, with all your heart, with all your being, and with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself.